Well, what a difference 3 days makes. Ray Brewer, Ryan Green, the Rebel Room post-game edition. After a victory, not just a victory, a pretty emotional, momentum-building victory for UNLV. Last second, when defeat seemed, I guess, fairly likely there with about 50 seconds to go, UNLV, it's hero of years past, so to speak. They steal a victory. Ryan, is this, I guess, save the season, I guess.
Yeah, for now it does. And, you know, it's funny, just not to be a downer on this, but think about how close we were to being here talking about UNLV's season maybe being down the tubes at, 14-6, 2-4. Instead, 15-5, 3-3. It doesn't look phenomenal, but it looks a lot better. And it's New Mexico who's left to lick the wounds at 13-7, 1-4. A good win for UNLV. Any kind of win over that team is a good win. And, hey, the Rebels, both teams tried to give that one away in the final minute. Let's not candy coat it, but, you know, they came out on the better side of it, and boy, did they need it. I don't know that they needed it as much as New Mexico did, but they both needed it pretty bad.
Yeah, UNLV seemingly needing a miracle, is that fair to say, mm-hmm. late? Gets a steal from Trevon Willis. All was good. He's driving to the hole. You think he's going to shoot it, throws it out of bounds.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, that's great.
Throws it over Chase's head.
Yeah, perfect. Then on the next possession, you're thinking, well, how long are they going to wait to foul?
And they didn't have to because New Mexico threw it away.
And Willis takes the ball. No way he's passing this time. He's in the clear.
Intentional foul.
Grabbed. Makes the two foul shots because he's money. He's clutch. Despite all the injuries, despite the rust, the kid could shoot foul shots under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said.
Yeah. And, and then look, there was the other, the cream of the just bad plays down the stretch. Derek Jasper on the inbounds pass under the New Mexico, under his own basket. Instead of throwing it deep, tried to throw it short. Kendall Williams picks it off down two. After Oscar Belfield only hit one or two free throws. God, there's so many things you can talk about. And Williams gets fouled going up. Almost hits it as an and one. Hits the first free throw, misses the second one with a second. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was frantic, back and forth, exciting. Bottom line, UNLV, I think, finally, toward the end of the game, played with a little emotion.
Mm-hmm.
They were rewarded. They won the game. Wasn't pretty. Style points don't matter. They got a coveted victory. They're 63-62. Moving forward, we're not going to talk about it yet, but they got two winnable games in Wyoming and Utah on the horizon, sandwiched with a nice little break in between. And I think that maybe they're back on track. And at 15-5, still, I mean, losing to Colorado State Wednesday, getting booed off your home court, obviously not what you want.
Mm-hmm.
They're still not a good team. But they're getting momentum. They're getting better. And it's around the time in the season when you want to start getting a little hot.
Yeah. And, I don't even know where to go with this one. This game was just so weird.
It's like they were on life support.
They have to win the next two games.
No doubt.
They have to. You know, they're at Wyoming Tuesday night. Wyoming is the worst team in the league. They're 1-4 in the league. They got absolutely punched in the face by Air Force today by 21 points. They're bad. UNLV has to win that game. They have to beat Utah on their home floor a week from
Tuesday?
Wednesday. You can't lose that game. And then if you get to the turn of the league schedule at 5-3, you're in good shape. They have to get to the turn at 5-3. After the turn, they have really two tough road games. They got three. They're at Colorado State. They're at BYU. They're at New Mexico. But you know what? You gotta be able to give yourself as much leeway as you possibly can down the stretch run. And by winning the next two games, you can do that. You mentioned them playing with emotion. You know, they really did late. I thought they did early in the game. I thought for about the first 10 to 12 minutes of that game, it looked like the UNLV team of November. And a lot of that comes from just hitting shots. Chase Stanback started hot. He was emotional. Oscar Belfield broke his offensive drought a little bit. He had a good offensive first half. I think he had 10 of his 13 in the first half. So, you know, there were some positive signs that team is still in there somewhere. I thought the biggest contribution UNLV got, I'm going to talk about two guys. I'll talk first about Carlos Lopez. 4 of 6 from the floor, had 9 points in 12 minutes, 2 rebounds, 3 steals. And they were all in the first half, and they all led to points for UNLV. And one was one of the best defensive plays we've seen all season from the Rebels, where he blocked Drew Gordon's shot and took the ball away and fed Willis for an open court layup. The other guy who you know, I'm going to give him some credit, Trayvon Willis. You know, if I am of the opinion after talking to him after the game that if this was not an absolute must-win game, I don't know that he would have played. He didn't practice much the last 2 days. He played 25 minutes, and he had the labor through all of them. Looked really sore in the first half. He even said after the game, I have no explosiveness. You know, it's just I can move one way. I can't cut and go the other way, which makes you think that knee is pretty bad right now. But he's doing it. I think he kind of lifts the team by doing that. And, you know, the 9 points, 3 of 8 shooting, not great. You know, 1 of 4 from 3, really not great. 4 turnovers, not great. But he had 2 assists, 3 steals, and a couple of huge plays. And 2 huge free throws late.
Yeah, and when you say he was laboring out there, I mean, he looked like if he was a racehorse, the career would have been done.
He was riding a stationary bike to start the second half in the tunnel. And Chase Stanback was on that bike too because he had a stiff lower back. So I mean, you know, this is typical of any basketball team this time of the year. They're all dealing with injuries and bumps and bruises. And it's how well are you going to deal with them? How tough are you going to be?
Sometimes if you look out there during the game, if you look at like just the demeanor or the way they move between Stanback, Willis, and Belfield, looks like it's a senior rec league game.
Yeah.
Sometimes those guys are just, you know, there's just aches and pains of.
They
you
play
know.
Very hard and they kill themselves. It's you know, it's going to happen. And you look on the other side, Darius Garey. You know, he's been injured basically for 4 years at New Mexico. He's always hurt, but he always plays through it. I mean, that guy played 34 minutes today, which was a game high. 15 points on 5 of 6 shooting. He was a warrior, man. I'll tell you, he took that big fall in the first half, and I thought he was done for the day. And he labored through it, came out right before the start of the second half and was limping, could barely run. And then once the game started, every time there was a break in the action, you'd see him wincing, but you couldn't tell other than that. And he almost willed New Mexico to a monster win.
After Lopez sparked that rally, I think UNLV was up like 27-19 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought New Mexico, who was 1-3 in league and probably playing as bad as UNLV was entering, I thought they were going to roll over right there, and I thought it was going to be game, set, match. So I guess give New Mexico credit for staying in there. They got talent. There's no way to a lot of, you know, heralded players. You know, Drew Gordon, 13 rebounds, 10 points. First time I'd seen him live, and he carries himself well on the court.
Well, I think their issue is a lot more than talent. I think it's chemistry. I think they you know, Drew Gordon, UNLV passed on him for a reason because I don't think they trusted him that he would fit in and give good, you know, help the chemistry of the team. And, you know, I don't know that he's being that way at New Mexico, but they're, I think, something like 6-5 since he's become eligible. They haven't been very good. And, you know, he had 10 points. They were all off dunks, oddly enough. But, you know, he's kind of emotionless out on the floor. I like their young talent, though. I like Alex Kirk, even though he didn't have a great game. He's had some big ones this year. The Kendall Williams kid almost pulled him back into over the top. And I also, you know, Snell hit that huge three that very well might have won the game. It was, I mean, when he hit that three with about a minute left, I thought that was it.
Exactly. And Williams, 7 of 8 from the line, the kid could shoot him from there.
Yeah.
Just pick the right one to miss if you're a UNLV fan.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. He kind of, I didn't know if he was going to hit either of them with how loud it was getting in there and him being a freshman and all. But, I mean, I'll tell you what, I don't know how you felt about it, but I felt like the last 5 minutes of that game, the tension on the floor, you could feel it in the air, in the entire arena.
Yeah, it was when you go to a matinee college game, you really don't expect, you know, the bells and whistles, the intensity. For some reason, at least
yeah.
I don't. I always for me those good games are always like the 7:30 starts.
Mm-hmm. No, I know what you mean.
You know,
yeah.
and for to be honest with you, for parts of the first half after UNLV's quick start, I was maybe close to dozing off, bro.
Yeah, it got pretty ugly for a little bit.
I'm searching for coffee. I'm like, where's a Starbucks? What could I do? And the game picked up some pace. Moving forward, big game at Wyoming. I know you say Wyoming's, you know, one of the bottom feeders of the team of the league, but tough to play up there with the elevation.
Oh yeah,
tough to play on the road in the league, and it's a must win for a UNLV team who probably isn't going to go in 100% healthy. You're going to rely on your depth probably that game a little bit to get you over the hump. I personally don't think UNLV is going to have a problem. I had in my gambling ways, I had Wyoming against Utah, and Utah is like a world beater now all of a sudden. And then Air Force put the hammer down on Wyoming today. So I think UNLV probably is going to rock and roll through that game. But you can't get too confident right now. You want to keep that momentum going. Would be great to maybe even see a 20-point win.
Yeah, and you know, UNLV, the guys who were on this team 2 years ago probably remember when they went up there as, I think, about a 13, 14-point favorite and lost. They lost.
Year they lost at TCU the next week, right?
No. They won at – oh, yeah, you're right. They lost at – I mean, that was a bad stretch. And, you know, they, look, I'm not saying this Wyoming team is anywhere as good as that one was 2 years ago, but, you know – it's funny you said big game. Every game, I know it sounds so cliche, but for this team, they have to treat every game like a big game the rest of the way because they've done this to themselves. You know, they by losing the Colorado State, you know, the other two losses you can kind of excuse. You know, losing at San Diego State, nobody's going to fault you for that. And losing to BYU when Jimmer scores about 72 points, is, you know, nobody's going to fault you for that. But they can't have any more of those losses where people are like, oh, wow, UNLV lost that game. They can't have them.
Okay, let me ask you this. After the Colorado State game, the Rebel Nation fan base goes from thinking NCAAs to, are we going to be hosting an NIT game? Now, all of a sudden, you know, it's kind of balanced out a little bit. UNLV, Ryan, 15-5 overall, 3-3 in the league. What do they have to do to get in the tournament?
I think they're going to have to finish, at the very worst, 10-6 in the league because the league's going to have a high RPI this year. So 10-6 in this league, combined with the non-conference season that they had, I think is going to help. And they're probably going to have to show pretty well in the tournament.
To the finals.
At least win a game.
What if they beat San Diego State here or BYU there? Does that
make up for one of the losses? They can get swept. In my opinion, they can get swept by one of those two. I don't think you can get swept by both of them. See, I think they've got to win one of those games. If they can... And it'd probably be better to win the game at BYU.
I just don't see him going into Provo and beating and out BYU and BYU because they look so similar. And against San Diego State, I just think they're so long and big that UNLV would really need to rely on its home court to win that game.
I have a good feeling about UNLV at BYU only because the first 2 years on this beat, I've seen UNLV go up there with BYU having the better team. UNLV beat them the first time, and then last year had it won and – you know, let go of a 6-point lead with, I think, about 2-3 minutes left. So not discounting anything at this point, but and that's what we've learned about this team is that you just don't know what you're going to get every night. But if they can consistently play as hard as they did tonight, I think they have a good outlook. That was the difference between this game and the Colorado State game. You can talk about shooting all you want. They played hard tonight.
And they made shots.
Well, yeah, that doesn't
hurt. I mean, 6 of 13 from 3, which was kind of their Achilles heel, led by Stanback's 3-for-3, it makes that effort look a little better when the shots are dropping.
They played hard.
They played hard. I agree with you. No doubt about it. One quick question for you. The biggest boo in the crowd. Well, the second I just lied to you. I was going to ask you what the loudest boo was tonight.
Phil Hellmuth.
Well, that's what I
was number two.
Well, I thought the Steve Alford pregame boo. As I formulate the question to bring Phil Hellmuth in. And then I realized the boo for Alford. Why is that? I mean, that guy plays a role as a villain in poker. He may or may not be a bad guy, but all of a sudden, the guy's going to go do a layup at halftime and people are booing him?
Oh, he shouldn't have done that. He looked bad shooting. I think he was 0 for 5 or 6 from the free throw line. Should have not done that.
Hey, I hope they bring that up on the next World Series of Poker telecast.
That would be nice.
Yes. Anyways, folks, UNLV off of life support. They're in a rehab center, for lack of a better word, 63-62, probably the most exciting game of the year. For Ryan Green, follow us on Twitter. I'm Ray Brewer. We'll talk to you guys next time.